Well, because Larry is gone this morning, we have asked Avery Lejeune to speak to us a little bit this morning as our speaker. He is the international, he's an intercultural ministry at Campus Students for Christ in Macomb. I've been here a time or two before, but glad to welcome Avery and Sarah to our congregation this morning. And that you can be attentive to how God is using intercultural ministries to be working in the world. Now that ties in with our great commission. So I think that's what we're going with that. So,
yes, sir.
In the bold today, Avery, you don't have a choice. You can't shoot yours now.
Indeed. Thank you. All right, is this working? Am I on? You all hear me? All right. Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we simply ask that you would speak to us. We come before you humbly, knowing that you are God, and that we are wholly reliant upon you. So, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak into our hearts and into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So, as Ron said, my name is Avery Lejeune. And I think it's been a little over a year, actually, since I was here last, and I preached on... I don't remember either, so don't worry about it. Now, you'll have to forgive me. My allergies are getting me a little bit, though, today, so just bear with me as I deal with that. So like I said, it's been a little over a year, and if you guys don't mind, I'll give you a very brief update about what I've been up to. Like Ron said, I am the Associate Minister of Intercultural Ministry at Campus Students for Christ. It's a bit of a mouthful. What it usually amounts to is fixing sinks and defogging toilets, because I was also hired as the building manager, believe it or not. So my wife suggested that I say that it is plunging toilets, but trust me, it goes beyond that. It's amazing what they will think they can flush down a toilet. Anyway, so teacher children, right? What goes in the toilet and what doesn't? In truth, my role goes far beyond that. It's not a usual day that all I do is fix sinks. My role is actually to build relationships. My role is to forge bridges between American students and international students. My role, my aim, my goal is to send back international students to their home countries, not as Western-educated graduates, but as devoted disciples of the one and only loving God. So that's my role, and it's actually what I would like to share with you about today. And as we were talking on the phone this week, Ron asked what the title of the sermon would be, and it doesn't really have one. It could be Why International Student Ministry. But it certainly has broader implications than just that. So I told him the Great Commission implications for today. So while I'm going to focus on international student ministry, certainly these kinds of things can apply far beyond that. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're actually going to turn to Matthew 28, Bible, iPhone, whatever it is that you look up scripture with. And we're going to just simply read verses 19 and 20. At what we know as the Great Commission. The Bible says this: Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So there's a really good chance that all of us are familiar with this passage. But there is also a chance that we haven't taken the time to study it further. And so I'd like to share with you kind of a breakdown of two of the Greek words in this passage. And the first Greek word is the word paruo, the word that we translate as go. Now, as such, it's not a problem to translate it as go, but I think there's deeper meaning here. Because if you remember, Christ has just been speaking to them, to his disciples, and he's about to leave them. And he ends with the Great Commission. And this word peruo could maybe more accurately be translated as depart from here, depart from this meeting. And as you journey, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So it's not necessarily that each and every disciple is told, hey, look, go across the sea. Go to Africa, go to Asia, go to Europe, go to wherever it is and make disciples. But as you go, as you are on your journey, as you continue, make disciples of every nation. So that's the first part. And the second part is the word ethnos, the word that we translate as nations. Because it's more than just nations. What it really means is ethnic groups or people groups. That's really what it means. And according to Merriam-Webster, an ethnic group is of or relating to a large groups of people classed according to common racial, national, tribal, religious, linguistic, or cultural origin or background. And I want us to stop and consider this for a moment, because I think the implications of this are huge. Like I said, it's not that each disciple is called to go into each nation, but that we're actually called to minister to every ethnic group, every people group. I mean, this is staggering. The implications are huge. I mean, if we wanted to be technical about it, it means that the inner city kids who share a common culture of gangs, of violence, of drugs, of theft, they're a people group that we've been called to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to. It means that we haven't been called to preach to the nation of Nigeria, necessarily, but rather to the 250-plus tribes that you can find in Nigeria. It means, by the way, that farmers could be considered an ethnic group that we're called to bring the gospel to. Rednecks and hillbillies and people that we tend to lump together, these are ethnic groups. These are people groups that we're called to preach to. And I'm not saying that we need to have a first congregational church of rednecks necessarily, but just that we can't allow our view of missions to be too narrow. The Great Commission shows us that God greatly desires for all people to hear the news of His Son Jesus Christ, regardless of their religious affiliation or their cultural background. And of course, if you're familiar with the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, then you know that this has been God's plan all along. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So we know that it was through Abraham's family that all of the families of the earth would be blessed. And in fact, we also know more than that. 1 Peter 1, 20 through 21 says this of Christ. "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." It is in Christ, through the family of Abraham, that God has always planned on reaching all peoples. Now, before I continue an explanation for why international student ministry is so important, let me make something clear. I don't want to de-emphasize any of the work of the church. Everything that we do to share the gospel, to participate in social justice, to do the work of the kingdom, is important and good. The church cannot afford to have tunnel vision and to miss the whole. And the importance of all of the work of the church is actually why CSC continues to partner with local churches and with organizations. It's why we support the Lemoyne Camp. It's why this week my boss, Barry Reed, smashed his thumb at Maple Avenue Christian Church while he was helping them build. It's why we continue to go on mission trips that care for the orphan and for the widow and the poor. And if you're doing work like that, I just want to encourage you, continue. Keep doing it. It is good and important. But I do believe that it is important to focus on international students as well. And I'd like to point out three things that make this important. The first one I've already covered, so don't worry, one point down. Not going to take another 40 minutes. The Great Commission. We are called to reach all ethnic groups, all people groups. The second reason that I want to share with you is God's call for us to have compassion on the stranger and the alien among us. In Leviticus 19, 33 through 34, God reminds his people that they too were aliens in Egypt. He says this, "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In other words, he's saying, look, Israel, you know what it was like. Not just to be strangers, but to be treated as strangers. The pharaohs in Egypt looked upon the size of the Israelite population with distrust, and they enslaved them. They turned them into worse than second-class citizens. They took their rights, and they made life so difficult and painful that they cried out to their God. And so God reminds them of this in Leviticus. And he tells them, you know what it was like. So have compassion. Have mercy on them. For people in that same position. The students who come here from other nations, they're strangers. They're in a foreign land. Some of them come here with so very little, except the money in their pockets, the clothes on their back, the admission to their school, and the hope for a better life after an education in America. The question is whether we will treat them as strangers or if we will treat them as family. And so this call on our lives has led the students in the ministry at CSC to provide many of the basic necessities that these students need. Clothing, food, even shelter. And through programs at WIU and at CSC, we're doing our best to treat them as family so that they can know the love of God. But we also recognize something else. We recognize that it goes beyond those material needs. In order to truly treat them as ourselves, we need to share the gospel with them. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13, Paul reminds us of our previous nature. He says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." See, while most of them have hope for a better life after an education here, a great many of them don't have the hope in Jesus Christ. And we who know what it was like to be alienated from that hope should share with them and have compassion on them. And this actually leads me to my third point. I'd like to take the time to introduce something to you called the 1040 window. And this is a geographical concept. It's a window that's an area of land located between 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude. It stretches all the way from West Africa to East Asia. I want you to think of countries like Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Korea, China, Japan. All of these countries, think of those. Religiously speaking, it's populated mostly by Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. There's an estimated 3.02 billion people. It's billion with a B. And it has the overwhelming majority of unreached people. In fact, it has the top 50 cities that are unreached with over a million people. The top 50. Why is this significant? Why does it matter? This morning in Sunday school, I think it was Don, mentioned that getting into countries like Saudi Arabia is nearly impossible. It's really, really hard to get people into Saudi Arabia who are going to share about the gospel of God. Many of the countries inside of this window are openly hostile, either to other religions in general or to Christianity specifically. They don't want us there. In a very real sense, this window, this 1040 window, is actually a window into darkness. It is a place that is largely devoid of the light of God. It's devoid of the very light that God has called us to bring into the world. However, God, being the awesome and almighty God that He is, He's worked miracles. While we struggle to go into these places to share the gospel of God, He has brought them to us. In the 2006-2007 school year, of the 17.5 million students who were enrolled in higher education in America, almost 600,000 of them were international students. 2 years ago, 2015-2016 school year, of the 20 million students enrolled in higher education, over a million of them were international students. And so that means that in the span of a little less than 10 years, the population of international students in the United States nearly doubled. Of the top 20 senders, 11 of them are from this 1040 window. Of the top 10, 7 of them. And of the top 5, 4 of them are from this 1040 window. The top 4 senders of students into America for higher education: China, India, Saudi Arabia, and South Korea. At Western alone, 8 of our 10 top senders come from the 1040 window, with India and Saudi Arabia leading the way. In 2012, the U.S. State Department recorded that 300 world leaders had been educated right here in the U.S. If history repeats itself, half of the world's presidents will be educated right here in the United States. If you ask me, God is sending us a message. It's time to bring light into the darkness. What an opportunity we have. Places that were once inaccessible to us are actually sending their people here, where we have the right to speak freely about religion. Ephesians 3:20, the slogan for CSC's building campaign, says this: "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Talk about doing more than we could ever ask or imagine. God is doing so much more than just building physical structures at campuses and in churches. But He is building His church far more abundantly than we could ever imagine. One last thing I want to point out about the 1040 window. How many of you have ever heard of Ferris? Ferris, Illinois, not too far from here. All right. So I grew up there, right? And to me, you say a million students. Wow, that's a lot of people, right? I mean, a million people, that's huge. And yet, when we think 1 million international students in America compared to the 3 billion in the 1040 window, in fact, when we think 500 students at Western compared to 3 billion, it seems to get small. It really seems like, man, we can't do enough. Like there's no way we can have enough of an impact. But I want to remind you of a parable that Jesus gave. In Matthew 13:33, He says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." I would remind you that which seems small in the eyes of the world is often large in the eyes of God. And so I ask you again, why international student ministry? Well, I was hired for it, for one thing, so it's kind of my job. However, the true answer, the honest answer, and the short answer is that we have been commissioned to bring light into this dark world, and God has provided this opportunity to do just that. Where we have the opportunity to send disciples back into their home country, to share the good news where we cannot share it ourselves. There is one more question I think that's worth asking. How can you participate in international student ministry? Let me share real quick, because there's multiple ways that you can do it. You can donate clothing, you can donate food, you can donate furniture and bikes to CSC. Those are ministries that we have ongoing for international students. But on top of that, we in the university have programs set in place already for international students to interact with local people. I mean, did you know that across America, national average, 70% of international students will never see the inside of an American home? 70% of them. They're here 2 to 4 years, and they never see the inside of an American home. We can invite them to Thanksgiving or to Christmas. We can take them on family vacation if we want. It's awesome. And because we do things like this already at CSC, we've seen the fruit of these kinds of ministries where these students come back to us time and time again, not just for the great food at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but because they want to know about Jesus, because they want to hear about who he is and what kind of hope that we have. So often we're afraid of meeting new people. And yet, as someone else pointed out, the students who come here, they know that we're Christian, and they start asking questions because they want to know. And so they provide the opening for us. There's no reason to be afraid of interacting with an international student. And if any of that sounds like something that you would be interested in, let me know. I would love to plug you in. And if none of that sounds good, but you have your own ideas, let me just share real brief. There's something called the Refugee and International Student Engagement Project. And what this is, the aim and goal of this project is to raise $250,000 to distribute through grants to churches and ministries that are willing to reach out, not just to international students, but also to refugees. So if you have an idea, if you've been thinking, you know what, all those refugees in Syria, it would be great if we could do something to help them, to sponsor them, to support them. But you don't necessarily know how, or you don't have the funding. These people would love to review your proposal and hopefully send you some grant money. So if you have an idea but you don't know how to go about it, let me know, and I would love to share with you about that. Allow me to make two very brief points, and I'll leave it there. Less than half a page left. It's okay. So I have no doubt whatsoever that God has called us to international student ministry. The Great Commission commands it. God has provided the means and the opportunity to do it. But I also think that God's vision for this world is far greater than my own, or anyone else's. And so I have to ask you guys to consider your own neighbors, your own workplaces, your own social groups. Are there ethnos that you could reach here and now that you haven't been reaching? I invite you to consider that question each and every day, and I invite you to act on it and not just think about it. Lastly, let me say thank you to all of you here, because I hear of the good things that you do, and I just hope and pray that you would continue in it. And so thank you for the good works that you already do for the kingdom of God. If you'll let me share one last scripture, I think it helps give us a picture of why we do what we do, all of us. This is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, we come before you. And Lord, we pray that you would work on our hearts And God, that we would listen. What it is that you're calling us to, salvation, sharing this salvation with others. Lord, I pray that we would respond. God, that those of us who know your love and your grace, that we would be bold in sharing it. God, may we not get caught up on the differences in other people, but God, that we would share regardless. That we would love them regardless. God, that even those that we consider our enemies, Lord, we would love them. Lord, lastly, for anyone in this room who is not given their life to you, for anyone who has not accepted you and your salvation and the love and the mercy and the compassion that you show, Lord, I just pray that you would be at work in their hearts. God, that you would lead them to yourself. It's in your Son's name that we pray.